Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today is the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and from England we hear from Father Ewan Marley, who is prior of the St. Michael's Priory, the Blackfriars in Cambridge. Father Ewan's preaching is entitled, Not the Last and Not the Best.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Mark. Some Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, Is it against the law for a man to divorce his wife? They were testing him. He answered them, What did Moses command you? Moses allowed, as he said, to drop a writ of dismissal and so to divorce. And Jesus said to them, It was because you were so unteachable that he wrote this commandment for you. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. This is why a man must leave father and mother, and the two become one body. They're no longer two, therefore, but one body. So then, what God has united, man must not divide. Back in the house, the disciples questioned him again about this, and he said to them, The man who divorces his wife and marries another is guilty of adultery against her. If a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she is guilty of adultery too. People were bringing little children to him for him to touch them. Disciples turned them away, but when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. I tell you solemnly, anyone who does not welcome the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he put his arms round them, laid his hand on them, and gave them his blessing. The Gospel of the Lord. First reading of today's Mass, the Sunday Mass, is from Genesis. God is speaking, I imagine, to his angels. He said, The Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate. I hear the words, It is not good for the man to be alone. I always imagine God saying to the angels, of course, being a man, he doesn't know that. Certainly God doesn't ask his advice. He just puts them to sleep and presents them with Eve. Rather unexpected gift. There's a beautiful passage in the great poem Paradise Lost, which is basically a love poem. A love poem, it says that humanity began with this love poem, this love story. And the difficulties of that love are the difficulties of all human history. In book 5, Eve has a dream. The dream is a dream in which she sees a serpent, who of course is Satan. She wakes being disturbed, but at first Adam has to wake her. And he says these beautiful words. Her hand, soft touching, whispered thus, Awake, my fairest, my espoused, my latest found, heaven's last best gift, my ever new delight. Awake, the morning shines, and the fresh field calls us. You may recognise the phrase last best. It's used by Abraham Lincoln in his address to Congress, where he refers to the last best hope, which is the hope of freedom in the Civil War. I'm quite sure that Abraham Lincoln would have been well versed with the whole of Paradise Lost and was quite deliberately using this phrase. It's a description of Eve, heaven's last best gift. However, Milton also would be aware that there are other gifts to come. Although for Adam, Eve is the last best gift of heaven, the culmination of his happy life in the Garden of Eden, that life will come to an end. Together they will have to leave Eden, and that's the way the poem ends. After that, love becomes a struggle. But there are other gifts, and the greatest gift is the gift of the Incarnation. That's the best gift. We could call that the last best gift, because God has nothing more to give us than his Son, can give us nothing more than his Son. It's the absolute gift. But it's a gift that unfolds in our life. And it unfolds as a sort of continuance of a process which culminates in a great feast. And not just any feast, but what we call a great wedding feast, a great marriage. That's why Christ is called, at times in the Gospels, the bridegroom. And the apostles are sons of the bridegroom. Which might make no sense if you're thinking in terms of time, but the sons, because their identity comes from the fact of that marriage. That's true for all people who engage in faith in any way. Certainly true of those who are ministers of religion in various ways, or called a special form of contemplation. They're sharing in the process that leads to the great marriage. That's why priests, even though in many parts of the Catholic Church, not all of them I should add, but many parts are celibate or unmarried, are actually engaged in that great marriage process. Everything they do is part of marriage, part of that joining of God to humanity, becoming one flesh. It's why matrimony itself, which is the proper name for marriage as a sacrament, is a sign of that marriage. It's an openness to that unity between humanity and God. It's why all the sacraments, in fact, are for the sake of that marriage. They are all, in a sense, matrimonial. They are part of this great coming together, a unity of spirit and flesh and divinity. The soul of the human being does not abandon the flesh forever, but finds it newly in Christ. So not the last best gift. It means too that Christianity has always lived in Cana. Everything is matrimonial. All the sacraments are matrimonial. Baptism, confirmation, ordination, marriage itself, of course. Anointing of the sick, which is an anointing of the body. A blessing of the weak, dying flesh. The flesh which cannot maintain itself in this life. But it will come together in the resurrection. Milton's Paradise Lost ends with them leaving Eden. It says, hand in hand they took their solitary way. Still it has hope. It's hope for a future. Even though at the end of the poem there's no child born, Madam has already seen a vision of life as it will be, the history of life. You'll see how much will fail, how much wrongdoing there will be, how much severance of the flesh, splitting apart what should be one. Those who are to join, to be with each other, in the many ways we can be with each other, and yet we betray each other. We separate ourselves from each other. And even though the church accepts sometimes a necessity of separation, if we are truly married, truly joined, we cannot ever abandon our own flesh. It's exactly what Christ says. And we must always greet the child, always believe in the future. Not to believe in the child is not to believe in what is to come. It's not to want to go forward to the great marriage. So, the last best gift is Christ himself, given to his people, the true bridegroom, the true uniter of humanity in his own self. So let's hope and trust in the great wedding. Let's prepare. The bridegroom is coming.